You're listening to Talk of the Nation, Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. Last fall, the National Academies of Science released an alarming report on the state of American science and education. We're in danger of losing our leadership position in science and technology. The major reason? Not enough young Americans are studying science, and the higher they go in science education, the likelier they are to drop out. And we're attracting fewer science students from overseas. Well, sounds familiar, an old song. What can we do? What can we do that's different? Well, that's what Congress wants to know. Congress wants a plan of action. So they've charged these scientists and educators and the new National Commission on 21st Century Education in Science, Technology, Engineering, and Math to come up with an action plan, a bold new action plan, as the National Science Board has asked for. The co-chair, Leon Lederman, won the Nobel Prize for Physics, and he's director emeritus of the Fermi National Accelerator Lab, but he teaches science, too. When he was at Fermi, he set up the Lederman Science Center there to use Fermi's resources to capture high school kids' interests in physics. He's now a Pritzker Professor of Science at the Illinois Institute of Technology in Chicago, resident scholar at the Illinois Math and Science Academy, which helps Illinois students and teachers from high school on up to develop their math and science talents and leadership. So he knows something about teaching science, and he's co-author of The God Particle. You probably know him best for that book, and that's out now in a new paperback edition. Welcome back to Science Friday, Dr. Lederman.
Thank you very much, Ira. It's a pleasure to be
you're
here.
You're fresh from the new National Commission's first meeting.
Oh, yes, and it was a beautiful meeting. I'm slightly optimistic about this.
You're never slightly optimistic about hardly anything. No, I'm just joking. that was actually going to be my first question, because the commission is charged with a bold new action plan to address the nation's needs. Can you come up with it? What new can you try? You have been doing this forever. Is there anything new under the sun that you can try?
That's a good question. As you know, we trace the history of these commissions back to, 25 years. And the one that we remember is A Nation at Risk.
Right.
Back in 1983, and it said, it was purple prose, we have committed unilateral educational disarmament. A very alarmist, very beautifully written commission report. It said all the things wrong with our educational system. It predicted all the terrible things that could happen if we didn't fix it. And it was read widely. Everybody, made a big impression on people. But almost none of the ideas were ever implemented. And that's the story of 8 or 10 commissions, reports, panel reports in the last 25 years. Beautiful. They have good stuff in them. They got it right. Every one of them got it right. And there's a repository of information on what we do wrong. But there's no primer on how do we get these ideas implemented. So that's what the Congress and they gave the National Science Board the task of forming a commission that would implement a bold plan. Of course, they don't want us to spend too much money, and there are various other constraints. It's got to be politically acceptable, okay, and it's got to be reasonable, And so we keep asking, in a kind of liturgical sense, why is this commission going to be different from all other commissions?
Just to read from the Science Board's paper, it says, an effective, realistic, affordable, and politically acceptable long-term approach.
And bold.
And bold. A bold new action plan to address the nation's needs. What is there? You said you're mildly optimistic. What makes you even mildly optimistic, given this history that you've talked about?
Well, we had a very lively meeting. The board itself, many of the people, in fact, most of the people I had not met before. I have a co-chair, Shirley Malcolm, who's a dynamo and a good friend of mine and co-conspirator in many educational things. But I think there are two things that give me some hope. One is the commission itself, I think, is on track. They understand the challenge. And it's an awesome challenge because the implications are getting more and more serious. And that's, in some sense, the positive idea. You know, CEOs like Bill Gates and Craig Barrett and Lou Gerstner, IBM, all of major corporations are sounding notes of panic. I mean, they've outsourced mm-hmm. everything but their wives and children. And they don't see the ability to hire the scientists and engineers and technicians we need to keep our prosperity, which traditionally has depended overwhelmingly on science and technology, on innovation. And if our students are not going into science and engineering, and are we've survived on immigration. The Alan Greenspan made a great point of the fact that way back 5 or 6 years ago that immigration will not keep us going, that someday these countries will stop sending us these brilliant people to help our technological workforce. Mm-hmm. And we've come to that. We're getting to be a country that's sliding, and our students are down at the tank. They just do badly. The more they stay in school, the worse they show up on international comparisons.
And whose fault? Is it the students' fault, in your opinion, or is it the teachers' fault?
I don't think you can blame either the students or the teachers. It's a system. We have a complex educational system. And you can blame the parents. Yes, they shoulder some of the blame. You can blame teachers. I don't blame teachers so much because the training of the teachers is poor. We don't recruit the best kids in the campus to be teachers. We don't pay teachers enough, and we don't respect them. We don't give them the kind of social status they once had. When I was a kid, teacher was right up there, ranking even with, God forbid, lawyers. You know, they were respected professionals, and that's something has changed. Uh-huh. So we have many gifted teachers in the country, but we don't have enough. And the average teacher training in math and science has to be improved greatly.
Well, we had a period, if I remember, when I was a kid, during the post-Sputnik year, where everybody wanted to be a scientist, a rocket scientist, something to get it. What happened there? Or was that mythology? Was did that not really happen? What was different about that period and the role models, and then what's going on now?
Well, that's a good question. I think science lost some of its luster in the negative aspects of technology. You know, technology gives us the good life, the long life, and in principle could make us bountiful in many ways. But there are the side effects of technology are negative, and maybe that's part of it. And I don't know the rest. There's a change in this country which I certainly don't understand, a kind of fundamentalist religious aspect. Look at the seesawing of the school boards in Kansas. We're still fighting the creeping creationism, intelligent design that's influencing the science courses in many, many schools. It's a battle to keep our science programs viable. And that's one of the problems I think we have. So there are obstacles towards the goal we have, and we think it's a crucial goal, is to improve our teachers, improve our education, and get the reasonable general population, the graduates of our high schools and colleges, to be comfortable with science. And to be skeptical that you can do everything with science, what you can do and what you can't do. This is public science literacy is crucial. And if we have that, then we'll have better teachers and better students. And maybe we can pull out of this slump because we're rapidly sliding towards third world status.
Mm. And one thing we don't have that we used to have, you know, from the eras of the Einsteins were the celebrity science. Scientists were celebrities. But today, they find, you know, for a scientist to be a celebrity, he has to go to China. And I'm thinking of Stephen Hawking going there and being treated like royalty. Uh-huh. And we're sort of missing that celebrity status, you know, on that up there on that pedestal. How do you bring that back?
Well, again, you need the help of the media. The media can do it if they want to. If every once in a while you see a movie that it extols the power of teaching, you know, Goodwill Hunting, or the media is crucial in all this. And of course, we have some heroic scientists who've made enormous breakthroughs in science. Science itself is vigorous and dynamic, and in my field of sort of elementary particle physics, it's never been more filled with possibilities of major discovery. So it is exciting, but the media doesn't pay much attention to that. You know, you don't get stories of scientists. You get news. You get programs that feature crops and robbers and lawyers and disastrous things, and very few, some, but not enough in the way of telling you the excitement of science, the beauty of science, and the thrill of actually participating in a scientific discovery.
We have the closest thing we have are those CSI shows, crime scene.
Yes, they help. Actually, the most effective program statistically is Star Trek, even though it didn't
still
teach.
On.
It's still on. It didn't teach much science, but it's so glamorous, and it gave kids the idea that they could do, you know, there's the unknown. We can't explore anymore. We've explored the surface of the planet. We get some fun from down and deep in the ocean, but the real exploration is the exploration of the world around us.
Now, I know that you spent many years traveling back and forth to Hollywood to try to convince the TV people to create a science TV show, a soap opera, a sitcom of something, and you, right?
That's one of my great successes. Yeah,
but it says something about, you know, what kind of business the television is in. They're not in the business to educate anybody.
That's the problem. It's a medium that could be magic for our society, but it's not that way. You know, we all watch what we see the sound bites if there is some science, and usually it says, well, in due course this particular discovery might help us cure cancer. That's a read off a regular file.
We're talking about the science education with Leon Lederman, author of The God Particle, on Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. Let's see if we can get a call or two in before we have to say goodbye. 1-800-989-8255. Let's go to San Francisco. Hi, Laura. Welcome to Science Friday.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I'd like to make the comment that I think it's important to talk about science and promoting that in this country. I think the problem goes much deeper. I taught anatomy in a junior college and found that a lot of the students didn't have basic study skills. They didn't have basic note-taking skills. And if you don't have those basic skills, you can't learn science.
Interesting point.
Absolutely right. I think that's, you know, we talk about science education, but most kids can't find Hoboken on a map or wherever that is.
Or Canada, for that matter.
Or Canada. So we do have a major problem. And I think science, it's well known, goes way back to John Dewey, said is the wonderful way of training people to have a way of thinking. That if you take the standard high school curriculum, more or less, improve it here and there, tweak it, get teachers who really understand the subject matter, the graduates will be comfortable with science, and they'll the other problems that your listener cited will also be fixed in that sense, because it is a way of thinking, a way of behaving, a way of learning.
So the National Science Board has told you guys to come up with a bold new action plan.
That's right. Don't hold your breath, but we'll do it.
You will do it. Do you call in people who you've never called in before to think of interesting new ways to suggest?
I'll give you an example of the desperate innovation. The first person I tried to call was a lady by the name of Oprah Winfrey. I didn't get a call back. I'm surprised, but I'm patient. But I think we've got to bring the public into this problem. And what better way can you do to bring the public in by getting prominent media figures who are also very thoughtful? And there are many of those, and we want to enlist them. because we know that our recommendations will not be that different from the many other recommendations. They may be more perceptive, more attuned to the later times, but we're not going to write reports that are more glowing than the reports that have already been written. But if we now compile a list of supporters, prominent media people who say, yes, this is very important, and keep that conversation going and keep our attention focused on recommendations and try to convince the Congress, because this is a very important federal responsibility. It's the nation, the future of the nation that's at risk and still at risk after 25 years of being concerned about it.
It's interesting because I think Oprah is absolutely right. You know, that's the right direction. Maybe if Oprah is listening to Science Friday, pick up the phone. It's Leon Lederman on the phone. And you come from Chicago. Leon, it should be a walk across town for
you. I tried. I really did try.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah. But I'm not. We're not giving up on this. I expect a call from her any minute now.
Mm-hmm. Or some other,
yes.
other. Because, you know, when you come on Science Friday or on PBS, you're really preaching to the converted already.
That's right.
I mean, you want people who have a larger, different kind of audience.
Yeah. Well, that's absolutely right. And there is an enormous interest in education in this country. There are so many different committees and efforts and experiments, and it's amazing. But there's very little coherence. You know, we have 15,000 school districts, in addition to 50 states. Our founding fathers, in their almost infinite wisdom, ignored education. They didn't say the federal government couldn't be involved, but they just ignored education as a local responsibility. And we've taken that almost as the Bible, that education is local. But it's no longer possible to solve our problems without a national strategy, at least, and maybe even a national curriculum.
And there you have it, Leon Lederman, co-chair of this new committee by the National Science Board, the National Commission on 21st Century Education, Science and Technology, Engineering and Math. We'll see if we can get Oprah to answer your phone, Leon. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Take care and good luck. We'll talk to you later. That's it for Science Friday. Our program is produced by Annette Heist, Anne Marie Cunningham, and senior producer Karen Vergoth. Our directors are Sarah Handel in Washington, Charles Berquist in New York. Our intern is Julie Leibach. Susan Lund and Odette Youssef worked the phones for us today. Surf over to our website at sciencefriday.com. We're podcasting and blogging over there. And also you can get back editions of Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow in New York.